gentlemen. Welcome to Dairy Township Board of Supervisors meeting for Tuesday, November 14th. Would you all please rise for a pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Although it is posted within the meeting room, I will advise those persons attending that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purposes of providing accurate minutes. In addition, the Board of Supervisors met in executive session to discuss land, legal, and personnel matters. Jill, will you do the roll call?
Member Matt Weir.
Here.
Member Justin Engel.
Here.
Member Susan Court.
Here.
Member Mark Moyer.
Here.
Chairman John Foley.
Here. Next is our visitor public comment session. We will ask that you state your name, address, and limit your comments to 3 minutes or less, and the microphone is open.
Hi, I just wanted to, if you review the agenda for tonight, I want to focus on D1 through 11 and E1 through 2. I'm a little concerned that we're moving forward to advance the cost around $300,000 for something we're not even sure we're going to build, buy, or even consider. I don't know if you read my comments I made to the Homestead Assignment, but I thought we needed more partnership involved in this because it involved many different layers within our community, the schools, the county, as well as the township. I think to put all this money up front and not even know what we're building is like buying hay for a dead horse if we don't do it. And to ask for a line of credit for 2018, I'd rather see more of exploratory making contact with other interested parties before we move forward. Not only that, but I think in this past election, the community has spoken. They selected someone else, and I think it would be more appropriate to wait for the new board in place to have a different philosophy, maybe, and take a look at this a little bit sooner because, and I'm not, you know, it's no secret, you know, Justin, Susan, John, you guys are all in favor of this, I agree. And I think Mark has some interest in Matt does. But I think we got to take a look at what the people are saying now. And I think this past election kind of demonstrated their opinion and their thoughts. So I think we're moving too fast without further exploratory as far as partnership or even something like you did to Jim and let somebody else manage it. That saves the taxpayers money. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Chairman and Mayor of the Board. For you that don't know me, my name is Del Rico. I'm the Facilities Director at BTMA. And I'm a former resident of the Hershey area, and I currently reside in a neighboring township. For the record, I'm speaking as an employee of BTMA and not on behalf of the authority board. So I'd like to read a statement they prepared for the boards tonight. At the Township of Dairy Board of Supervisors meeting on October 23rd, it was noted the possible sale of the BTMA as an option for funding for the proposed rec center. Understandably, this has caused for great concern to the 34 employees of the authority, as the majority of our jobs will be eliminated and or displaced by the private utility. It is important to acknowledge the benefit and great value that DTMA and our staff provides to the Township of Dairy and our surrounding communities. The DTMA staff consists of residents of this township and surrounding communities. With over 640 years of combined service, at least 10 employees with over 30 years of service, these loyal public servants over the years have benefited the Township of Dairy and its residents by providing reliable sewer system, responsive service, a professionally managed and self-sustaining operation which ultimately affords our customers a reasonably priced sanitary sewer rate, which is among the lowest in our region. In addition, during the devastating flood in 2011, DTMA sustained over $12 million in damage to its facilities. The recovery and rebuild of the authority sewer system was achieved through the great efforts of I'm passionate guy. Of these employees, They were also, we recover almost $10 million of those rebuilding costs from FEMA. The township residents do not see any significant rate increases because of the dedicated effort of DTMA's employees and strong fiscal responsibility. It has been an absolute privilege to work beside the dedicated, loyal, and hardworking staff of DTMA. In our industry, and as an employee of the municipal authority, I will tell you, there is usually no fame or recognition in consistently achieving our goal of protecting the quality of life and welfare of our customers. We usually only make the news when something good happens, or when something goes wrong, my correction. So the old adage goes, no news is good news in our industry. We do, however, reach out to our public, and we host an open house at our main plant to allow customers to see our operations firsthand. We had a great turnout last open house on September 10th of last year. As a municipal authority, let me acknowledge DTMA is a successful enterprise, widely recognized for our vision, forward thinking, and commitment to providing cost-effective public service to protect and enhance the water environment and quality of life for our local and regional community. DTMA is a proven leader known to be a golden standard in our industry of how municipal authorities should be owned and operated. In fact, I attended a national workshop in Virginia 3 weeks ago, and industry leaders across our nation mentioned and recognized DTMA for our state-of-the-art facilities and operational success. This proven quality of service and efficiency is a reason why the Township Board of Supervisors dedicated the stormwater system to DTMA to own and maintain. In our first year as a stormwater authority, we have spent over $275,000 of stormwater funds for various maintenance improvement projects. 2018, DTMA is planning to spend over $1 million in additional stormwater improvements of known failures of the stormwater system. We are also planning and designing for nearly $2.5 million in other stormwater improvements over the next couple of years. As for the sale of DTMA and privatization of the sewer facilities serving the township and five surrounding municipalities, our customers should be aware of the potential impacts and long-term consequences of a sale. As noted by the PMAA, communities are best served by local ownership and local management, which are more responsive to specific community needs. Local ownership translates into better service, more accountability, and a guarantee that every ratepayer dollar will be reinvested back in the community's infrastructure. Private utility companies are for profit and must make a return on its capital investment. Some percentage of every rate dollar belongs to the shareholder. Municipal authorities only consider their customers and are best able to balance the need for continual reinvestment in their infrastructure and make appropriate long-term capital investments while maintaining fair and reasonable rates. There are several examples of authorities in PA that have been privatized. Private utility companies have realized their profits with increased sewer rates. We need to ensure that our residents and township and surrounding communities have affordable access to reliable sewer service. The best way to achieve this goal is to continue DTMA's long tradition of public accountability and local ownership. I greatly appreciate your time this evening with the board's consideration of the information presented this evening as you evaluate the best approach moving forward to serve the majority of the residents. Thank you.
Next on our agenda is the approval of meeting minutes for the public meeting of the new Rec Center on October 16, 2017. Is there a motion? Moved by Ms. Court.
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And those minutes are approved. Next is the Board of Supervisors meeting for October 23, 2017. Is there a motion? Moved by Mr. Weir.
Second.
Second by Ms. Court. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And finally, the budget hearing of October 31st, 2017. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Court.
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Moyer. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And all of those minutes are unanimously approved. Missed something when we started, so I'm going to go off track a little bit here. As many of you may recognize, Chuck Emmerich is here most every business meeting for the board, and I ask you to keep him and his family in your thoughts and prayers with the passing of his wife. I believe it was Saturday morning.
Yesterday morning.
I'm sorry, days are going fast. Yesterday morning. So we just hope, wish Chuck the best as he's in this very, very difficult time. So apologize for missing that at the opening of this. Next on our agenda is new business. A1 is a presentation of grand prize winners for the Derry Township Police Department's Positive Ticket Program. Chief Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Derry Township Police Department started the Positive Ticket Program in July 2016 on the idea of an officer hurt, now detective hurt. He brought this program to our attention. It's modeled after a similar program with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. And it's intended to foster positive interactions between police and youth of the community. So these positive tickets are given out by officers to the youth who demonstrate good character and behaviors and show they have respect for themselves, others, and the community. In addition to the ticket, a voucher for an item at a local establishment is given to the recipient of the ticket. And at the end of the positive ticket of program season, which is the summer season, names were drawn for those who will receive grand prizes for this year. And I think we have all but two people present for the meeting tonight in reference to the grand prizes. So I'll have Detective Herr come up to the front. I'm going to read off a name, and if you would come to the front with Detective Herr, he'll present you with your grand prize. And then if you could just remain out there with him, and we'll get a group picture at the conclusion of names being called. So the first one is Veronica Cole. Veronica was issued a ticket by Detective Herr, then Officer Herr, for using a crosswalk and waiting for the signal before crossing the street. And she received a voucher for a kids' meal at Texas Roadhouse. And now she has been selected to receive a Fitbit. So when she does her walking a little bit more, she can keep track of these things. So the next recipient, and I'm not going to even try to pronounce the last name, but the first name is Devin. Chief Moore, by myself, and he and some other people, in fact, the next person that you'll hear, were using a bike path instead of an adjacent street to ride their bikes and wearing bike helmets, so being safe in that way. And he received a subway sub voucher at the time, and he is selected for a gift certificate to Fuddruckers. The next name is Pushpesh Thakur. And as I stated before, he was with Devin and some other boys that were using the bicycle path. They were not impressed that the chief of police was giving them and he got a subway voucher as well, and he is receiving four tickets to a Hershey Bears game. And the last one that's here tonight is Sarah Young. Jason Road. She stopped and looked before crossing the street while walking her dog. Very good. I like that you're protecting your dog companion. You received a voucher for her Chocolate World, and she is receiving four passes to Christmas Candyland. Just to mention our two other prize winners, Greg Campbell and Haley Rowland. They are from out of the area. But they were both victims in a bus crash. And during that time where things are are fairly hectic. Things are going on, and they're a passenger in the bus. They both remained calm at the time and did very well in spite of everything going on around them. So they are also receiving prizes. Greg is receiving a gift card to Giant Foods and Sheets, and Haley is receiving a season pass to Hershey Park. I'd like to get a picture before everybody takes off here.
Parents, if the parents want to come up here behind the microphone, you're going to get your best shot. Aren't you getting in there? Come on. For what it's worth, it's the Chiefs' No Shave November.
Yeah.
And it's showing. Congratulations. Thank you very much.
Out
to the businesses who supported the program with the donations
and
prizes?
Yes, I can to some of them. The Hershey Company, Hershey Entertainment and Resorts. Some of the vouchers were by Subway, Texas Roadhouse, Wendy's, Turkey Hill. Fuddruckers provided one of the grand prizes. Fitbit was actually donated by a citizen for the giveaway. I think I got most of them. But the gift cards as well. Okay. I think that's about it.
Thank you, Chief. Next on the agenda is B1 through 2, consideration of the issuance of a general obligation bond series 2018 in the estimate aggregate principal amount of $5 million on behalf of the Derry Township Municipal Authority. Mr. Nagley?
Mr. Verdell. Good evening. While those are going around, I'll give you a quick update. Last night, we attended the DTMA board meeting to review this proposed financing to fund their capital projects over the course of the next 3 years. So we wanted to come to the township tonight and review that proposed borrowing, which DTMA would desire would be issued through the township as we have done in the past for various DTMA issues, and review with the township the timing, the structure of the financing, and again, the purpose of doing it, and why we have suggested this roundup in the past. So just briefly on the first page there, one of the things that obviously DTMA is considering is where our interest rates right now. We all know they're still relatively low. So we were looking at this chart last night and realizing that interest rates today are only about 70 basis points higher than the all-time lows that we hit last summer. So it continues to be a very good time to be locking in an interest rate on a long-term borrowing like DTMA is considering, and that's why you'll see that we have a pretty aggressive schedule in terms of trying to move this forward to be able to lock in an interest rate potentially as soon as January. On page 2, the proposed borrowing is in the amount of $5 million for planned capital projects that DTMA has identified over the course of the next 3 years. You can see them, and actually Wayne is here with me in case there are any questions on the specific details of these projects. But big picture, stormwater piping and inlet replacements, equipment to inspect and characterize stormwater piping, stormwater facilities for improvements to high priority areas, sewage sludge processing equipment, digester, biogas, fired cogen unit. That's kind of the bulk of the $5 million worth of these projects, and you can see that they're almost equally split between stormwater projects and wastewater projects that DTMA is putting together. Middle part of the page, What we are proposing is that the township issue general obligation bonds. And we've done this over the course of the last few years where the township is issuing the debt on behalf of DTMA. Some of DTMA's debt is actually issued on their own. It's called guaranteed sewer revenue debt. So actually it's about, of their six issues, half and half right now. Three are through the township, three are guaranteed by the township. The advantage, typically a slightly lower interest rate if we have the township issued general obligation bonds. There's one other bigger advantage in this being a new money issue. If we issue guaranteed sewer revenue bonds under the indenture for DTMA, they have to maintain a debt service reserve fund based on the amount of debt service that's outstanding. If we issue guaranteed sewer revenue bonds, we would have to actually borrow more money, put some of that into the debt service reserve fund, and that's in place for the entire life that these bonds would be outstanding. If we issue through the township, we don't have to borrow that extra money, and therefore it keeps the total borrowing and the payments for DTMA down a little bit. What's in place right now is a subsidy agreement between DTMA and the township, and that's what basically gives you the assurance that DTMA is going to make the payments on the bonds that you've issued on their behalf. So we would be updating that subsidy agreement for the proposed new borrowing to reflect that the principal and interest payments of the new issue would be included in that subsidy agreement. And again, that's a document that's already in place between the two entities. The proposed financing schedule, you can see that last night we were at DTMA, as I mentioned, that board did authorize the financing team to proceed. So we're before you tonight to ask the same authorization for the financing team to proceed with this issue. We would then have to go back to DTMA's December 11th meeting to have the subsidy agreement updated and have their board approve that. And then we would be coming back to your meeting in December the 19th, where you would take the official action to actually incur the debt. Tonight is really just authorizing the team to begin the credit rating process, begin the process of putting the offering statement together. So again, we would have to come back for your final approval, where you were actually approving the borrowing on a parameters basis at the December 19th meeting. We would then hopefully be in a position to price the bonds in early January. That's when we would have the credit rating in hand and be ready to go to the market. So that's approximately when we would be locking in an interest rate. That doesn't happen until we actually price the bonds, and that's scheduled for early January, and then we would have closing in mid-February, and that's when the funds would be available for the DTMA projects. On page 3, I have a summary of the township's overall debt, and we need to put this together any time that we are doing a borrowing, whether it's the township or DTMA borrowing through the township. We have to submit this to the state for their approval when they look at, are the overall payments level. So it's important that we review this. I won't go through it in detail, but I just wanted to have it in front of you. Basically, what we're showing in columns 2 through 7, that's the existing DTMA debt that I mentioned is already in place. Columns 8 through 15 are financings that are either directly done by the township or their ICDA financings where the township has provided its guarantee of that debt. So we have to look at this schedule and then basically fit the new borrowing around this. And specifically, if you turn then to page 4, the DTMA portion of that is what we're trying to wrap around to minimize the budget impact of DTMA of the new borrowing. When you look at page 4, if you just look in column 8, you can see that their debt service on an annual basis, here in 2017, it was just over $3 million of debt service. Next year, it's scheduled to move up a little bit to about $3.1 million. And as you go down that column, you can see it runs at a rate of just under $3.5 million a year. And then it drops down in 2027 to $2.5 million, and in 2028 to $700,000. And that's the final payment on their current existing debt. One of the things that some of you may recall was last year in 2016, We did take advantage of how low interest rates were at DTMA, and we refinanced two issues that produced about $1 million of savings. So when you look at column 8, the reason those first couple years are down at 3.1, that $1 million of savings, we were able to reduce those debt service payments that will eventually be going back up to about $3.4 million in 2021. But this page is important because the actual new borrowing that DTMA would do is wrapped around this debt service to minimize their budget impact. Page 5 is just graphically showing it in a bar chart, the exact same amount of debt service, and we have it broken down by the components of each issue. But here you can see that their debt is basically level for the next 10 years and then drops pretty dramatically. And so that's where we would fill in the new debt debt payments in an effort to minimize the interest expense from the borrowing, keep it as short as possible, as well as just keeping the overall debt of DTMA as short as possible. That's always something that the credit rating agencies look at. How quickly do we pay down our debt here at the township or at the authority? We've always been cognizant of structuring the borrowings as short as possible to minimize the interest expense. Page 6 then is what the potential borrowing would look like, and just have you look at the second column in from the left, the principal column. There you can see we have $5,000 maturing in each of really the first 10 years, and that's a state law that we have to have amortization of principal every year, but we're minimizing that just with a single $5,000 bond each year. And then the majority of the payment, the principal would be structured in the years 2028, 2029, and 2030. So that's the wraparound structure that I mentioned earlier. And if you turn to page 7, you can see how that basically blends with the existing debt service, and you end up with the far right column, which is the debt being more level and just extending for a couple of more years. You can see it drops and runs at a rate of about $2.5 million for those final 3 years before the final payment in 2030. And again, we've shown that graphically on page 8, where the green that we've dropped in on page 8 shows the new borrowing, and that basically it's just extending the DTMA debt by about 3 years to fit this into their current debt profile. So that's the proposal, the timeline. Either Wayne or I would be happy to answer any questions regarding this proposed financing. Again, it would be just for DTMA projects. All the funds at closing would be transferred to them, and the subsidy agreement would be updated to reflect these new principal and interest payments that they would be responsible for.
Thank you, Luke. Are there questions from the board members?
Just for clarification, is this a pass-through, or does this also impact the township's credit rating?
Good question. When we borrow on behalf of DTMA, because of that subsidy agreement that says DTMA is going to make the payments, we actually put it on the township's debt statement, but then there's a credit that it comes back off. So the net impact is it does not impact the township's debt capacity from state law purposes, or from when the credit rating agencies look and say, well, how much debt does Derry Township carry right now? It doesn't impact either one of those.
And Wayne, I just have a quick question about the project. The timing of this, does that line up with when you're looking to do this work, or?
Yes, Susan. We identified approximately 14 wastewater projects and 5 discrete stormwater projects. And according to the way a bond is issued, we have to undertake these within 3 years. So you'll see some serious activity in the next year or two getting these things started.
So there's some sensitivity with the timing then.
There is.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Weir.
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that motion is unanimously approved.
So, next. John, if I may take a minute. I guess we're done with DTMA tonight. And I just wanted to say that I've had the pleasure of serving on your board for the past 8 years. and he can attest to everything that Bill said. It's an amazing organization that sewer authorities don't get a lot of attention. It's not something that people love to think about, what you guys do. But you do it well, and it's been amazing to see how well run it is with Ralph and with Wayne following. And so thanks for coming out. I appreciate it. I regret that our decision to evaluate all options has made you feel somewhat nervous. I can tell you, and I have no problem telling you, I will not be in favor of selling DTMA. And I will also go out on a limb here and tell you that I've never spoken to a member to my left here who is in favor of selling DTMA. So there's no guarantees in life, but I think I think there's reason for you to feel less nervous than I think you do right now. So thanks for coming out.
Appreciate all you do. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I'd like to chime in a little bit with that. I've been involved with DTMA for a couple of years, and I've been very impressed with the whole operation down there. Very innovative. The projects that we approved today for bond issue have been very innovative, very well thought out. We're saving our taxpayers money because DTMA stepped up and took over stormwater projects. And now we have some money to repair things that were let go for a long time. So again, my hand goes out to you guys, and I think Derek Township has a real authority to be proud of.
Here.
Absolutely. Can I assume all you folks on this side, DTMA? Everybody's nodding. Very good. It's good to see you. And you know, I'll echo a little bit of Justin's comments. It's unfortunate the way it was perceived, but it is one in which all options were being examined. It doesn't mean they were being that action was being taken. It just meant we're looking at everything. So, and I think that's just prudent on our behalf. But for any anxiety we caused, our sincere apologies, and we're thanking you and your valued employees. So thanks. Moving along, next on the agenda is C-1-42, adoption of Ordinance 697, authorizing DCIB to incur a non-electoral debt for the downtown Hershey Streetscape Improvement Project on U.S. 322 corridor, the U.S. 322 corridor improvement project, and the Stouffer's Church Road culvert replacement project. Ms. Umbro.
Thank you. We discussed this briefly at your last meeting when you authorized advertising this ordinance. This action would actually take the step in adopting the ordinance to approve the Dauphin County Infrastructure Bank loan financing for the three projects you mentioned. Currently, the Downtown Hershey Streetscape Improvement is wrapping up design. We're looking to visit that in the next couple of months. HRG is working with PennDOT on final HOP permitting comments. 322 corridor improvements is about in the same boat there. We're actually looking to bid those two projects together. And then the Southridge Church Road culvert replacement is currently being designed, and the permitting has been submitted to DEP on that one. Lou's here tonight. He can talk you through the debt itself. The county is looking to close on this by the end of the year, so they would need your approval tonight in order to do that, in order for us to receive the financing. The total amount that we requested through DCIB was $2,843,000. This debt is being structured on a parameters basis. So there's a different number that you'll see in there that will be adjusted as necessary. So,
thank you very much.
I think there were just some questions, and Lauren had just asked me to help reiterate the structure of the parameters. It's something that we've done. I mentioned that the DTMA borrowing would be done as a parameters. And it's really just a structuring thing, and to be able to get the pre-approval of DCD and keep this process moving. So while the amount that you see is larger, we know that you've only been approved by the county for the $2.8 million that Lauren referenced. So that's just those are not to exceed amounts. When the bonds are actually sold, the plan is that the county is approving this financing tomorrow, and they will be selling their bonds in early December. Once those bonds are sold, that will close at the end of December, and the funds will be available then to make the loan to you and to Londonderry Township and to Lower Soterra, who's also borrowing in this one pooled borrowing that the county is doing basically on your behalf. So that's the schedule, and we just wanted to reiterate, make sure everybody understood that at the end of the day, it'll be the 2.8 million. It's not that larger amount that you see right now. That's just a parameters amount.
Very good. The streetscape aspect of that, the 2.843 million, am I reading this correctly, that $1,925,000 of that is going to be the streetscape aspect?
Correct.
And what is non-electoral debt?
Do you
want to
take that?
So under the Pennsylvania Local Government Unit Debt Act, and I'm obviously not a bond lawyer, but you can issue either electoral or non-electoral. Obviously, electoral is when you've gone to the public and asked for approval to issue that debt. So typically, 99.9% of the debt that's issued in Pennsylvania is non-electoral debt. Basically, you've made that decision and you're going out and authorizing it.
Okay, thank you. And I know this is a complicated answer probably, Norm, but maybe you can boil it down. What would we be getting for the $1,925,000?
There's a lot that's rolled into that. It is a complicated answer. And Eric's here too, so he can jump in and tack on anything that I miss here. So the project is roughly, you know, we've looked at this a handful of times. You've looked at it as a board. It roughly extends from Orchard Road to East Mansion Road. With that, we're including resurfacing of the entire road. We're including the resin, high visibility resin crosswalks, which replicate the crosswalks and improvements that you see as a square at Valley, Ridge, and Linden. There is a new crosswalk proposed at Para with a pedestrian landing. There's on-street parking throughout the corridor. There's high visibility resin bump out. There's new signal apparatus that's going in at Ridge and Linden. There is a planted grass median around Orchard there, kind of where you come up around the bend. We've also been able to coordinate with the Hershey Town Square project, working with them through an agreement where we're coordinating the improvements, you know, essentially so we're not doing that area twice. So that involves some turn lane improvements there. What am I missing, Eric?
Covered the bulk of it. I don't know if you mentioned flush bulb out some of the intersections. In addition to decorative crosswalks, there's going to be flush bulb outs, delineation on street parking, a couple of flush medians that will be decorative as well, in addition to the vegetative median that Lauren mentioned.
Right. And I should say, you know, this project, Mark, as you know, was first conceptualized as part of the downtown master plan. When we first looked at it, there were improvements not only on Chocolate but also on Caracas. It also involves the intersection at Cocoa and Caracas as part of this effort. The initial project we looked at was much larger. I would go out and say at least twice as much. What we were able to do was really pare it back and say what represents a manageable project that we can do, you know, to get a good manageable phase one, what makes sense to coordinate, you know, with PennDOT already planning the resurfacing of the stretch. We took out the behind the curve items so there aren't sidewalk improvements associated with this or some of those other behind the curve items.
The reason I ask that is because tonight, ironically or otherwise, we're going to be discussing whether to spend $100,000 on design drawings for the Chocolate Town Park East. Mm-hmm. And that's a, I want to say, is it $1 million project as well? At least potentially about $1 million as well. So overall spending could potentially be significant for that entire corridor right there, to the tune of $3 million. So we're going to have the decision as to whether or not what's being proposed is worth
right.
that kind of money.
So this item would, of course, only address the streetscape improvements, and I think looking at the park as a separate item is very necessary because at this point, you know, just looking to kind of move that along but not asking for any kind of commitment towards construction at this point.
Mark, help me if I'm not getting this correct, but we don't know the total cost of what the park would be, nor do we know what amount the township would actually incur versus what we might receive in terms of support for that park. So it may not, that's like the worst case scenario, I think, but I don't know that that's exactly what we'd be looking at, and we don't know when that would happen either.
Right. Do you want to talk about the park now, or do you want to wait?
No, I just wanted to make sure that we cleared that.
Right.
It's definitely speculative.
Yeah, I mean, as we work through the design process, we're going to be able to get a better construction cost opinion that reflects what we could do, again, as a manageable phase one for that project. We might look at phasing the park. There's lots of different options to consider. There's also lots of different funding sources that we should be considering for those different uses of construction. So, and I think all of those would be explored.
Can you explain, perhaps, why since the corridor improvements the design drawings are going to be finished soon,
right,
why wouldn't it make sense then to wait on this project until the design drawings are done for the Chocolate Town East project and then
do them all at the same time? Right. So, and Eric, you might want to chime in here too, but the I think the work that's being done is, or could be done as part of the Chocolate Town Square project would be a few years later. This project we're looking to bid concurrently with the 322 improvements, and I think both of those are somewhat time sensitive in that our estimates reflect current day construction prices. The longer we wait, we have potential materials and pricing increasing, and just also with trying to address issues that we see in that corridor, wanting to keep those moving.
Thank you.
Do you want to add anything to that with the timing?
Yeah. My understanding, of course, we wanted to go with both 422 and 322 projects as soon as possible. The intent is, if we get advertised, right now the current schedule has us advertising in June, January. And that would have construction completed by the end of 2018. I think at the earliest the MARC project would be a 2019 construction. Best case, you're delaying that at least a year. And if something happens with the MARC project, delay that. You may be delaying that further as well. I think the DCIB funding is already lined up. The PennDOT permits are coming together. The longer you delay and wait on that, you risk other permits expiring as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we certainly don't want to be doing any rework on that. Design permitting side.
To pay back this loan, are there any funds like liquid fuel funds or anything in the future or would this all be debt that the township will have to pay?
I don't know if liquid fuels funds can be applied towards the debt for this. I would need to look into that. I know that the projects need to be liquid fuels eligible based on the way that the county program is structured. But this would be new debt that the township would be incurring. I think the first year with the payments based on the amounts that we're borrowing, we're looking at about $165,000 annually with less in the first year. And Lou and Cheryl and I and Jim have all been talking so that we have that accounted for in the budget for this first year.
I just want to make a general comment. It's interesting to see Sandy in the back row, 2011. Sandy, if you recall, and I think there, Mark, you were probably on the board at the time of the community survey, and one of the biggest issues identified by our residents was traffic. That oftentimes is the biggest concern. And if I recall, the biggest point voted on by all the respondents, the most troublesome intersection and area was this area on Governor Road. And so it's interesting that now here we are in 2017 and it takes a long time to bring these projects forward, a long time. So we're addressing something that our residents said was one of their biggest concerns.
Thank you, Justin. Are there any other questions? Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Court.
I'll make a second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that motion is unanimously adopted. Next on the agenda is D1-11. Request for direction regarding the Community Recreation Center final program and authorization to execute a scope of services from Phil Gret Architecture and Site Incorporated for the schematic design phase of the project. Mr. Mandia.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board is aware, collectively much work has been completed over the past nearly 4 years in gathering information and planning for a new Community Recreation Center. This past summer, the conceptual plan for the project was presented in a public forum that outlined various options for the building program. Last month, an operations analysis was also presented in a public forum for those options, which provided even more data regarding those building options. If you please note that attached to your agenda items, I've included the comprehensive chart that outlines the project options along with the applicable conceptual drawings, all of which were presented at the public forums that I had previously mentioned. So this agenda item is kind of twofold. First, as the board requested at our last meeting, it was to provide an opportunity for the board to discuss more in terms of the building program. And secondly, requesting consideration and authorizing the execution of a scope of service agreement for the schematic design phase of the project with Kimmel Beau Gret Architecture and Site in the amount of $300,000. This step, in addition to advancing the schematic architectural design, would begin to engage a civil engineer to begin looking at the site, the electrical and mechanical engineers to begin to provide input on the schematic level, and also engage our aquatic consultant to begin to provide critical guidance at the early stages in the schematic design regarding the conceptual pool designs and functionality at this point. A copy of that scope is attached to your agenda item. Greg Kousis from Capital Construction Management is here as well. If you have any specific questions regarding the scope or the process with that. So at that time, at this time, I request to turn it over to the board.
Thank you, Mr. Mandu. Any questions from the board members?
We talked, just mentioned last board meeting, that whenever you do a big building project, it always goes up kind of hot scotching up steps, design, and finances. For instance, if we had to turn the 50-meter pool sideways and maybe make the therapeutic pool a little smaller or make the therapeutic pool an indoor-outdoor pool, would what we're doing today allow for us to have that option to make a change like that?
Greg, if you could help me out on that, if you wouldn't mind. In terms of where the schematic and would we be able to make those types of changes during that phase? Is that what you're asking during the schematic phase?
Yes.
I think the simplest answer to your question is yes, you can make those changes during the schematic stage. What has been done to date has been what I would consider an advanced conceptual design. They put quite a bit of time and energy into developing the plans that you've gotten a look at so far. Typically in the schematic stage of design, there is refinements in the overall program for the building in terms of layout, in terms of orientation, in terms of the components that might be included in that design. But I say that with the caveat of giving some direction to the design professionals at this point for them to start advancing that design is also pretty important. So if there's wholesale changes in terms of what you're envisioning that building looking like and being and the components that are included in it, it's important to, as a board, understand what that program is and communicate that to the team at the beginning of the schematic stage and not the end. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Greg, don't go. So if we were not comfortable as a board making a decision among the programs this evening, 25 meter, 50 meter, could we move forward with schematics drawing both? And if so, would that impact the price and allow us a little bit more time to really vet all the proposals and give that consideration.
So that specifically is something that Mr. Mandia and I have spoken about, and I believe that you can effectively do that through the schematic stage, advance both of those designs, so that you have not only a better drawing, but also a better understanding of the cost implications and the site implications for both of those designs. I think those two options are fully are very reasonable for the design professionals to advance through the schematic stage. If we're talking about other adjustments, you mentioned something about an indoor-outdoor pool and those type of things. They can also make those types of accommodations during the schematic design stage, but if we're asking them to do four or five different concepts, we're really moving back to the concept stage. We're not progressing to the schematic stage. So to answer your question, Susan, yes, I think it's reasonable for them to advance the design with both the 25-meter option as well as the 50-meter option, and at the conclusion of schematics, have plans that represent both of those as well as budgets that represent both of those.
And that wouldn't be until spring then. We'd have to make that kind of decision. That would allow us some time to learn more about the budgets, how it would look.
I would expect that would be a February, March time frame.
Okay. I just want to make sure that the schematics that we're talking about here tonight and the $300,000 for that are to discuss one of the four scenarios we discussed during the public hearing. Is that accurate?
I think the question that Susan just made was whether or not we could advance two of those four scenarios.
But two out of the four that we elected, or that we spoke about.
As a board, I think you're being asked to give some direction in terms of what is the program that the design professionals should be proceeding with. And that could be any of those four.
Okay.
Matt, maybe you could chime in, or Greg. If the two options were, for example, to decide between 25 and 50-meter pools, that the footprint of the building would be essentially the same with or without the fitness components. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, so basically, there are four options, but essentially for this purpose, for this discussion, it's kind of two options.
Right.
Then we have the time to figure out what goes inside that footprint of the building.
Well, I appreciate that. The billable hours anticipated for 2017 is about $75,000.
We had discussed that. We actually, I got Greg and Jim Bogret from Kimball Bogret together, and we discussed that, and we discussed billable hours for 2017 is an estimated range between 50 and 75. That would be right. Billable this year.
Yeah. And the reason I raised these questions is that we've not yet voted on whether we will actually build any of the four scenarios. We haven't decided that we're going to build any of the four scenarios yet. And I'm not sure why we would commit to spending $75,000 on a project we haven't decided upon yet, at least $75,000. I know we're thinking very creatively on this project, thinking outside the box, trying to find funding sources, and it is sincerely my hope we can find a funding solution for this. But as of today, we still don't know we're going to pay for this project. And my concern is that by voting on this now, we are going to be placing the next board in the position of finding funds. If we determine we can't afford any of these four scenarios, we're putting the next board in the position of either walking away from $75,000 or building a $30 million project. And while the Mueller Senior Center is an extremely valuable asset to our community, and while we all want to see the Mueller Senior Center succeed, I'm not sure. I mean, the reason we're deciding on this on today, my understanding is because of the timing of the Mueller Senior Center and it needing a home, for lack of a better term. As valuable as that is, I'm not quite sure the Mueller Senior Center ought to be setting the agenda for the Board of Supervisors on a $30 million project, especially when a potential tax increase could severely impact some of our most economically vulnerable residents, senior citizens who are on fixed income. And I believe committing to $75,000 at this time, before we know the financial impact of this project and before we even decide on what we're going to build, is premature. I know that you disagree with me on that, but I just thought it was important to get you know out of here. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there additional comments from the board members?
I respect that, Mark. I guess I just add that it's not just the Moab Senior Center timing that drives this. It has been, I think we set the stakeholder group up, Matt, approximately 3 years ago.
2014.
Right, so just to get to this point where we're through the conceptual phase, we've gone through a very methodical, thoughtful process that's taken over 3 years. And although we haven't decided to fund, and we don't know exactly how we're going to fund the whole project, I think one thing that we have all agreed is that something needs to be done, period. And most of us look at the possibility of a renovation as just not reasonable. With all the different grades and the age of the building and the materials, and it's just not reasonable to renovate the existing structure. So then you get to a point where you're, and I hate to use numbers so loosely, but you're at a point in the high teens, low 20s to build a new rec center. And then you get to the point where, and many people say this, and I agree with this argument, that if you're going to do it, it's going to be there for 50 or 60 years, do it right the first time. And so you go through this thought process and you find yourself at a place where, yes, you're at an unbelievable number, but yet you realize how you got that number, and this is not just going to affect our residents today, it's going to affect our residents for decades. And many of the quiet majority doesn't even live here or isn't even, you know, they are decades in the future who will use this, it will affect their community, it will improve the quality of life, it will make it better for our employers to attract good talent. It will help our youth as they get out of school every day and they can go to the rec center and give them an alternative place to go. And so that goes to lowering crime, and there's just so many different positive attributes to this that I think it's a huge project, but we need to take the next step and make it happen.
And I agree wholeheartedly philosophically with you that the status quo is just untenable.
Yeah.
It's the sticker shock of $30 million and whether or not we could achieve most, if not all, of those wonderful benefits, which everybody agrees this center will bring. There's no debate on that. For less than $30 million. And what we can actually afford.
Yeah.
And so my big concern is that if the next board comes in and says, you know, we've crunched the numbers and we've exhausted all our possibilities, and we're looking at this, and gosh, I mean, $30 million, it just isn't tenable, but maybe 20 is. But it's going to have to require a significant modification in the plan, maybe moving something around. I know there was, for example, some discussion that maybe we ought to have an additional basketball court instead of four pools or something like that. I'm just throwing that out there as an example for the pickleball and the basketball programs and things. And if that could potentially result in a $10 million savings on the program, maybe that'll be more financially doable for those generations to come as well. And I just hate to see this board be put in a position come January of going and saying, you know what, we need to revisit this, and we're going to have to walk away from $75,000 in order to possibly consider something else. Especially when we're talking about, you know, less than 8 weeks' time, the ability to hone this in. And again, I understand your position. I respect it. I do. It's viable. It's legitimate. As is this project. But I'm just extremely concerned about the debt burden that might be put on our residents.
anyone else? Very good. Is there a motion?
We'll happily make the motion.
Motion by Ms. Court.
I'll make a second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Nay.
So that is a 4-1. Next on our agenda is E1-2, authorization to secure a line of credit to fund the professional services for 2018 related to the Community Recreation Center. Mr. Mandia, same topic, or is there more?
This is just a request for approval for a drawdown line of credit that would pay for the $300,000 for the scope that we just discussed. It would be up to a limit of $1.4 million in drawdown funds that would be available. That encapsulates the total estimated professional services fees for the year 2018. Those funds, once we would get through schematic, if the board would decide to move on to design development and further design services, then those scopes of services would be brought before the board. Authorization would be given for those expenditures, and that would be provide the board an incremental kind of approval process through the design process as we go. So this is a request for the 1.4, which would be the total amount. If in fact all those funds were drawn down, the township would have a $33,000 interest payment due in November of 2018, which is currently included within the draft 2018 general operating budget.
Thank you, Mr. Mandia. Other questions from the board members? Very good. Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel. I'll second it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And only for the reasons I stated, nay.
No.
Thank you.
4-1, and that motion passes. Next on our agenda is F1-10, approval of an HRG proposal for engineering and design services for Choctaw Square East Park, Mizumra.
Thank you. So we started to talk about this a little bit earlier tonight. This project looks at moving forward with approval of the proposal from HRG for engineering and design fees. This will essentially take us up to the point of preparing bid documents, going through the bid process, and then construction admin, construction inspection would be under a separate contract. Essentially, this allows us to take the next step forward in this project without paying for the bidding, without paying for the construction admin inspection until we get to the point where we know we actually want to construct it. A few years ago, just to give you some background, this project was conceptualized as part of the Downtown Hershey master plan that was prepared. We've applied for grant funding a couple of times, putting in those conceptual drawings, trying to get out some funds that we would be able to do some sort of a base project with. We weren't successful in receiving grant funding in those rounds, but going forward with the design at this time will allow us to get sharper numbers on what this project could cost, like you're referencing, Mark, and also to look at, you know, whether or not we do need to phase it. The timing is somewhat critical because if we're able to move forward with the design at this point, we'll have a good base plan prepared that we can use to submit with those grant applications in the spring, helping us to be more competitive and essentially lining us up for what could be a 2019 construction schedule. So that 2019 construction schedule aligns very nicely with the renovations to 14 East, which, you know, this space currently serves as essentially the side lawn of that building, and also the Hershey Company's 125th anniversary. That's why you're seeing this before you tonight, really the time sensitivity and the potential to leverage some additional funding. Again, if we take that next step with the engineering, recognizing that if we don't have the funds identified for construction, we do have those engineering documents prepared so that if we are successful in achieving grant funding, we can take it and move it forward. With that, if you would approve the proposal, we would look to cover the cost of that, which is $91,000. I'd be looking for a motion to increase the line of credit that Matt just referenced at the 1.4 to 1.5 to cover those fees.
Very good.
Thank you.
Are there questions from the board members? Yeah, we're talking about a lot of money. I feel that somewhere some belt tightening is going to have to take place in this, mm-hmm. this whole project. I go back and look at the park as we have it down there, and you know, maybe that's a place that we could save some money. Do we need $100,000 just to study it, or could we contact the Rose Garden people and get them to do some landscaping and get something that's pretty and not so expensive? But somewhere we're going to have to face the fact, start tightening our belts. Are there additional questions or statements? Very good. Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Motion moved by Mr. Engel. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Ms. Court. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
Nay.
That motion passes 3-2. Next on our agenda is G1-13, consideration of HRG's proposal for professional services related to the development of the roadway impact fee study with Mr. Nagley.
Yeah.
Mr. Williams, my apologies.
Thank you. The impact fee committee has held two meetings to discuss background information and requirements of adopting a roadway impact fee for the township. The consensus from that committee was in favor of proceeding with the required reports, ultimately since those reports would provide a benefit to the township by creating a prioritized plan for road improvements in the township. Approval of HRG's proposal will enable the background reports and the capital improvements plan to be completed within the required 18-month period, which began back in August with the adoption of the interim impact fee resolution. If the board determines to approve the proposal, the reports will be completed and reviewed by the impact fee committee with recommendations back to the board on whether the impact fee should ultimately be adopted. I know a conversation on the agenda item began last week, and I believe the intent is just to continue that conversation, and then we as staff will be looking for directions, and ultimately the board's action tonight would enable us to determine how that project will be moving forward.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Williams? Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel. Is there a second?
Is it too late to ask a question? I did this before, but I just want to understand something, Brandon. I apologize. There's been conversation about breaking this study in pieces and perhaps not doing the full study, but doing enough of the study to give us information that would help look at the overall infrastructure in the community. If we did that and then gleaned information from that and stopped the clock on the road impact fee, could we then pick it back up if that committee decided to move forward? That was a suggestion that I heard, and I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
The impact fee has a very specific set of procedures that you need to go through, both meetings, public hearings, and a certain number of studies done in a certain order. It's different than just doing a township-wide planning effort, so to speak. In order to meet the time frame associated with that, you really need to start from the beginning going through that process. Now you can get halfway through and decide not to do it, and then at that point tailor it down to just a planning study instead of an impact fee study. But really you would need to start down that path at least to have any chance of finishing. Now again, if you choose not to go down that path now and maybe just do a planning study or some other evaluation and then want to do that later, you could do that, you can pass another resolution. It's just you would forfeit any funding collected in the interim from between August and whatever point you decide to go down that path again.
Thank you. That's helpful. One other question?
Sure.
So the amount of the study, how much that falls in 17, how much in 18, and do we have a budget for in this calendar year for the amount that we would
need? No, this money will come out of our reserve.
And how much of it is coming out of 17? 17 budget?
$96,000,
right? Total
of the full amount comes out this year.
No, it's only $15,000 that will be coming out in 2017.
Sorry, Brian, how much?
$15,000.
Okay, so $15,000 will come out of the 2017 reserve, and the balance will come out
of the reserve.
Of the reserve for next year.
And this study would be a benefit regardless if we do the impact fee or not, right? We should do a study like this for long-term planning in the township generally.
Absolutely. The ultimate end product, I mean, even if we're not considering the impact fee right now, the capital improvement plan would provide that prioritized list of transportation improvements that would basically be necessitated by proposed development in the township.
This would also count toward the regional.
I was just going to say, this is going to be a big part of the Hershey Regional Transportation, Greater Hershey.
Correct.
Transportation study, which is something that we're in already.
Correct. Yeah, actually, good news. I learned today that our funding request was approved for that. So,
very good.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done with my question. Thank you.
Okay, so we have a motion by Mr. Engel. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Weir. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And that is unanimously approved. Next on our agenda is item H1 through 40, consideration of adoption of ordinance number 692, which would amend chapter 225 zoning of the Code of the Township of Derry to make general revisions, corrections, and clarification. Mr. Williams.
This amendment is representative of the corrections and clarifications that staff noted from the ordinance that was adopted, or the zoning ordinance that was adopted in March. These amendments were discussed at a public hearing held on October 10th. There was no public comment registered at that time. Both the Township and the County Planning Commissions have provided recommendations to adopt the regulations as drafted, and those letters have been provided in your packets. So tonight I'm providing a recommendation to adopt ordinance number 692 as drafted.
Are there any questions for Mr. Williams? Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Weir.
Second.
Second by Ms. Court. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And I think that motion is unanimously approved. Next on our agenda is I-1 through 4, consideration of adoption of Ordinance 693, which would amend Chapter 89, Downtown Core Design Standards of the Code of the Township of Derry regarding permitted materials for roofing and private outdoor seating elements. Mr. Williams.
The Downtown Design Standards Ordinance was also adopted in March of this year. This amendment is, again, several corrections and clarifications that staff has noted since that time. The amendments were discussed during a public hearing held on October 10th, the same night as the zoning. No public comment was registered for this hearing. The Township Planning Commission provided a recommendation to adopt the ordinance as drafted, since this is a standalone ordinance from the zoning and subdivision land development policies of the township. The county did not require a review of this amendment. So my recommendation tonight matches that of the Township Planning Commission and recommending adoption of the ordinance as drafted.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Williams? Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel. I'll second it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that motion is unanimously approved. Next on our agenda is J1 through 3, adoption of resolution 1523 establishing the Board of Supervisors regular meetings for the dates of the year 2018. Ms. Henry.
It's
in the
year,
book.
So
you can read it. Is there any objections or any questions about it? January 2nd. I'll entertain a motion for approval. Moved by Ms. Court. Second. Anybody?
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And that motion is unanimously approved. Next on the agenda is K 1 through 2. Adoption of Ordinance 698 to amend the Code of the Township of Derry, Ordinance Number 553, by amending parking restrictions on Cocoa Avenue just south of Brook Lane and Cocoa Avenue just south of Ridge Road. Chief Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. During a resurfacing project on Cocoa Avenue, in order to provide traffic on parking spaces were placed on the east and west side of Cocoa Avenue from Brook Lane to Valley Road. While the addition of these marked parking spaces will provide traffic calming in the way of slowing our vehicle traffic speeds on Cocoa Avenue, it has been noted a special value on one of the residents in that area who brought to our attention the parking spaces marked along Cocoa Avenue to the south of Brook Lane and Ridge Road intersections do not provide safe lines of sight for the motorists and the pedestrians traversing the intersections. In the interest of pedestrian safety, it is proposed to start the parking restrictions a little further south on Cocoa Avenue from each of the intersections to increase the line of sight for the motorists as well as the pedestrian. Proposed distances for new parking restrictions are listed in the attachments to this agenda item and ordinance. The modification will eliminate four current parking spaces to the rest. One on each side of Cocoa Avenue, one on the east and west side of Cocoa Avenue, to the south of each of those intersections with Brook and Ridge. But will increase the safety for pedestrians crossing at these intersections. There are four additional no parking here to corner signs and one additional no parking sign to bridge a gap through there. And then a removal of, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 painted parking space lines will need to be accomplished as well.
Very good. Are there any questions for the chief? Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Angle.
Second.
Second by Ms. Court. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that motion is unanimously adopted. Next on our agenda is correspondence board committee information from my left, Mr. Moyer.
Yes, since our last meeting, I'm fortunate enough to be able to join Matt Rear, who once again led by example in the planting of trees along Bullfrog Valley Road. They look beautiful, and they are going to be a jewel for our township for decades to come. So thank you, Matt, for allowing me to join you and the rest of the ground group on that.
Thank you, Mark. I'd like to expand on that a little bit. On Saturday, November 4th, we had over 100 volunteers from the Boy Scouts, from the school sports teams, high school from out of town, Derry Township Environmental Action Committee, and we planted 48 trees, some of which were from the Tree Vitalized grant. Other ones were from Out of the Goodness of the Hershey Trust Company, which donated, I think, 22 of these trees. This morning, Andy Broad, the DCNR District Forester, and Chuck Gassert and I drove around town and inspected the trees we did with the 2017 planted. There's almost 90 of them, and it's really nice to look around town and see the 400 or so trees that have been planted since the program started. There's too many people to thank, and I don't want to miss anyone, but Jill Henry has always been in there helping with the paperwork, as have Tom Clark and Bob Piccolo, who in the Public Works Department, who dug the holes, delivered the trees, mulched, watered, mowed around, and done a lot to make the program possible. There were some very dedicated people, Trish Foster, Sandy Ballard, Chuck Gasser, who helped with a lot of the paperwork. It's a lot of work getting the grant written. Jen Fitter and Kristen Kyler from the Penn State Extension. We also looked at a lot of the trees that Matt Mandia and the Parks and Recreation have planted over the years. So it was really a great coordinated effort by a lot of people. And again, I hope I didn't miss anything to say in thanking them for that effort. One thing we are noticing is that There's some things required in the grant that we have to bring up to date. One of them would be writing a shade tree ordinance. There's things that we do not have in our present ordinance that have to be brought up to date. We should have a shade tree commission. We should be doing risk assessment as to the value of the trees, how long you expect a tree to last, and what danger you have if a tree would fall. Maintenance of the trees is getting to be overwhelming for just the volunteers we have. We have to manage the tree canopy better than our present ordinance is doing. We're required to keep a tree database inventory with a computer program called iTree, and we have people working on that along with Brandon. I think you talked to some people with coordinating that also.
Yes, that's correct. Actually, Trish Foster contacted me and is starting the database on the trees.
And also, it is becoming increasingly more difficult to maintain a tree list because it's changing just about every couple of weeks. So we have to get some thought to bringing our tree ordinance.
Thank you
for helping to lead that map. Today we had our normal monthly transportation meeting. Justin and I met with the folks from HRG, Economic Development, and Supervisor Alexa Mudo was joining us, so he got to hear all the wonderful projects that we were working on. It's a very short list that only takes about an hour and a half to go through. So it's complicated and exciting. In addition to that, the Board of Supervisors recently received correspondence, as did members of the press and some other residents of our community, about some allegations involving the fire company. We have asked Chief Warner to investigate these things, and that process is in fact underway and in some cases concluded. Beyond that, the Board of Supervisors has directed the Chief to instruct the EMA Director, Lieutenant Roach, to get more involved and help with some assessment and clarification of roles and responsibilities there. So just wanted to share that with the members and the press at large. That's all I have at this point, Ms. Court.
Just a quick reminder that the 20th, which is Monday, is the next All Things Diversity series event at the Hershey Story. And Lynette Chappelle-Williams from Hershey Medical Center is going to be talking about understanding generational differences. It's something the township's helping with, and we invite the public to come. It's free. You get dinner. You learn something. You meet a lot of nice people. You can register through the link on the township website if you're interested in learning about that session or the future ones coming into 2018.
Mr.
I guess I'll cover something now. I was going to do it during to go around the departments, but Garth, the board has talked about better crosswalk enforcement, something that we've emailed about, and I think the board seems to be in favor of doing some enforcement. It was kind of interesting that we did have, a pedestrian, I don't know how serious it was, but a pedestrian incident right at Bridge and Chopra within the past week and a half or so.
There was a vehicle pedestrian collision, yes.
Yeah. So it's something that we've emailed back and forth. It's something that some other communities have done. May involve undercover police, or may involve warnings, however you see fit. But I think the board is in support of some more enforcement at the at crosswalks. Any thoughts on that?
Actually, I was going to bring something up in my department head report. I don't know if you want to wait for that or.
Do you have more?
I don't know.
Well, on that note, should we advise Jill perhaps to put something out there that we're going to be setting up enforcement on crosswalks, and maybe the Sun could put something out there?
Maybe the Chief can figure out what that's going to be first and then communicate, Jill, but I think that's a great idea. Yeah. Make sure we share that.
Okay, with that, at this time, we'll turn over to the reports of the department's Chief. You're up.
So today, Lieutenant Free and myself, we met with a few residents from Hershey Plaza Apartments. They have real concerns about the pedestrian crossing of Valley and Chocolate, which I know we've all experienced those issues. Sandy's been a real big advocate of trying to make that a little bit safer through there. I've been part of those undercover pedestrian details, and It's actually a little bit dangerous to even do those. So I got a correspondence from one of the residents there. So we went out and met on site discussed some items involving that crossing. There was some discussion on the crash that happened down at Ridge and Chocolate. What I plan to do is put a small report together for the board of the items that were discussed, some of the short-term remedies that we might try. Enforcement is part of that. I don't know too many officers that like giving out tickets, but it's necessary. You have to enforce things to get the message across sometimes. So that is part of it. Part of it would bring a little bit more visibility to that crosswalk, whether it be through signage, through pavement markings. Right now, I think half the crosswalk is gone due to some stormwater work and so forth. Getting those markings back in place, making things a little bit more visible in that area, and I'll have to give credit to Sandy Ballard for this, there was some discussion on what the residents could do themselves, because there are quite a few residents of the Hershey Plaza apartments that use that crosswalk to get over to Pronio's, some local businesses and so forth, and just get around. I remember Sandy had an idea a while back about some handheld flags to bring visibility to a pedestrian.
She doesn't want credit for that.
The residents are actually going to take that upon themselves and create those flags for themselves that they can carry with them. And they are actually going to be kind of a litmus test to see if something like that is effective or not.
So did you just effectively transfer all liability to Sandy?
No, it was an idea. I think you had seen it somewhere else.
I think it was Wendy Lubell.
Oh, Wendy, okay.
Yeah. Wendy. Yeah. Or someone else on the committee.
I know it was brought up at our Healthy Communities task force, our physical task force, so I'm sorry if I misrepresented that, Sandy. I told them I'd be interested in, if they were going to do that, maybe once they got things underway, is coming out and observing them using that method to cross to see if it's something that's viable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that they wanted to take upon themselves to try to do something in the short term. Obviously, there's some long-term things that can be done. Some of it would be engineering and having PennDOT involvement. One of the things that we're going to do in reference to that is we're going to, and this was brought up through the physical task force through Penn State Health Communities coalition, was documenting the number of times we have near misses. Because usually the only time the police department is called is when there's an actual occurrence where somebody is struck by a car. Sometimes if it is a near miss that is really egregious, we might get a call on that, but there are a lot of near misses that we don't get reported to us. They are actually going to facilitate that as well at that intersection, and they're going to collate all these near misses that they encounter so we can have that data. So if we need to go for an engineering change or we need to go for a signage change, we can bring that data to PennDOT and try to have some substance to it.
Yeah.
There were several things that came out of the meeting. It was very productive, I really felt for some of the people that tried to get across there in the motorized wheelchairs and things like that. I know from personal experience of doing this undercover details that it can be quite dangerous. So.
Yeah, and just so you're aware, we brought it up in the transportation meeting this morning, and although it's not part of the streetscape plan that we approved, there seems to be support. It would have to be something separate, but there seems to be support to do some type of amended HOP. We can't get it in there now because it would hold off the current HOP.
Right.
I think there will be support for something where HRG is going to consider some type of device.
Right.
Probably not in the road because it's it's a lot of maintenance and it costs.
I think it's more common now to do it on a signage.
On a signage or something where you push a button and there's a light, because we all recognize that coming up the hill, motorists just don't realize there's a crosswalk.
Well, I think it's more distraction.
Yeah.
Everybody's coming into town, they're looking for a specific business, they're looking for a specific roadway, they might be from out of town, not familiar with where they're going, there are devices in the cars, there's all sorts of distractions for drivers now, and not seeing that as a regular place for a crosswalk, even though it's at an intersection, it almost acts like a mid-block crosswalk. If it was a signalized intersection, which the last crash happened at, because somebody wasn't paying attention to the pedestrian signals. So, you know, those are things to take into consideration too, is just trying to bring a little bit more visibility to that intersection.
Mm-hmm. And that intersection will become high visibility resin with the streetscape improvements. And I think what you're referring to is additional improvements that Eric and his team are going to look at.
So it's a whole combination.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the only other thing I have for tonight is obviously everybody sees my appearance with the No Shave November. Our department is taking part in a fundraiser. No Shave November is voluntary, but members of our department have embraced this. It's actually been a team building exercise for everybody. Everybody gets a kick out of it. This is the first beard I've ever had in my life. So, but the members were, they had to make a minimum donation. It had to do with the number of pays during the year. So the minimum donation was $52, but some people went well above that with their donation. And the money we raised, which was a little bit over $1,400, is going in conjunction with Lower Paxton Police Department to the Joe Allen Green Children's Hero Fund. If anybody knows Joe, he's a Hershey native, graduate of Hershey High School, was a detective of Lower Paxton Township, and all too soon he was just getting a routine surgery and died on the operating table. So that fund was set up in his name, and it does a lot of good work for the Children's Resource Center in this region to help victims of child abuse, and it also the fund also drives a program that he was very involved in, reading the children, help them become their own advocates of child abuse. So they advocate on their own behalf. They learn how to do that. So very worthwhile cause, and it's been a lot of fun seeing the other officers grow beards. And the female officers were actually invited along for Nifty Nails in November, so they can do their nails. We have all sorts of restrictions on hair and nail color and things like that, so we relaxed some of those restrictions, so they were allowed to get their nails done and designs and so forth. So it's a good team building exercise.
Thank you, Chief. Next up is the fire company, Mr. Sassman.
Good evening. 61 calls for the month of October. And this Thanksgiving, the fire company will be hosting a community dinner at the firehouse. That is open to anyone who just needs a place to go and have a meal. That there is designed by our treasurer, Scott McCann. He orchestrated that, and he's been doing a great job with that. Also, I want to thank our community partners who have donated food to our cause, and also to Derry Township School District, who's allowing us to use their facility to do the cooking of over 40 turkeys and hams for that day. That's all I have for this evening.
Thank you, sir. Public Works, Mr. Piccolo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be quick. Public Works is in full mode as far as leaf pickups going right now. We are on schedule, but I can tell you we're coming into the weeks now that we probably will start falling behind. So I just want everyone to know that we're out there. We will get their leads, even if we don't get them on the day that's on the piece of paper that everybody gets.
The leads are falling.
Yes, they are.
Will that potentially go past the week of December 4th, since the leaves are a little late?
Yeah, we'll stay out there as long as we can, as far as the weather permits us to. Snow has something to do with that if we would get snow, but typically we'll we'll try to stay out as long as we can, and that usually does go over the first week.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. The library. So great.
The big news at the library is that we were featured on Jeopardy last week as a question, which was very exciting. So we're still reveling in our national fame right now. That's all.
Thank you. Terry, administration.
I have nothing this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Matt, what was the question?
I didn't want to be the one to ask.
What town's public library is at 701 Cocoa Avenue? And the category was USA, and we were only the $200 clue. So low money.
the real question is, did they get it right?
Yes.
On the first scale of government.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Mr. Mandy.
Just very quickly, wanted to update the board and the public. This Friday afternoon, the bicycle pedestrian trail between Stony Run Road and Shank Park will be reopened. The repairs will be done this week, and just wanted to once again recognize and genuinely thank the Jonathan Eschenauer Foundation once again for providing over $62,000 in funding for those repairs. So, thank you.
Thank you. And our town planner is here.
Nothing.
Shaving a haircut, looking good.
Thank you.
No report?
No report. No report for me either.
Brandon?
I don't have anything tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Laura?
Just one note that we're working to schedule the final DEP inspection of the parking lot to close out that grant. Nothing else.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you. It looks nice. It looks fantastic, by the way.
With the new lights on.
Yep.
Good.
Mrs. Hendrick.
Nothing, thank you.
Thank you. Very good. Next on our agenda is the approval of accounts payable in the amount of $372,020.59 and payroll in the amount of $327,019.69. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second move by Mr. Weir, second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And they're unanimously approved. Next on the agenda is our final visitor and public comment. The microphone is open. It's the same criteria. Please state your name and address and limit your comments to 3 minutes or less.
Rich Hamill, 39 Rockies Over the Ocean. Okay, in regards to hobbies you could play tonight, I'm spending the money, you know, $300 here, $500,000 for a parking lot that was functional, but it has to be prettier. You know, we use the term stormwater for justification, but we got to hurry up and get it done because of the timeline. It sounds like Washington, D.C., was the last minute to get it done. Grants are given out every year. Nothing says we have to have it done this year. Why don't we take one project at a time, finance, make sure it's financed, and then put it. So we're going to compete against somebody this year, wait till next year. If they get it done, then we don't have to compete against them. So let's start slowing the pace down spending money. How much money do you think you spent tonight here? You approved. And what impact is that going to have on the taxes? That's what I'm concerned about this board. Hopefully with the new philosophy of another board. You know, if you're sitting here putting that board in a difficult position, you're going to be that board. You know, you're going to run for re-election. I think we saw what happened in one election. I think the people are speaking and you're not hearing it. Question with the recreation center. I'd like to see a 10-year study. What is the number of people that were members 10 years ago and each year? Let's see, are they going to continue to join? Are our numbers decreasing? Are we putting up something that people can't afford? The Mower Center, what does it cost to go to the Mower Center? Nothing. What's it going to cost for people to come to utilize our senior center? Are they going to have to join the recreation center? And can they afford to do that? You know, the lady said, build it, they'll come. Yeah, but are they going to walk through the doors? Can they afford to walk through the doors? I just think the board has to take an overall look at, you know, $500,000 parking lot. It was functional. Did it have to be done this soon? If the stormwater was a problem, you can get that done. But that's not the only place there's a stormwater problem. They're all over the place. But really, can we slow the spending down? Because, you know, some of the people in this community can't afford that tax rate the way you're advancing, just on the money you spent tonight and projected to spend. So really, take that into account. And I support Mark, what he's trying to tell you ahead of time. But obviously, it's going to take time to whittle down to the people that are representing the community and not the interest. Like 125-year anniversary. Who cares? For 27 years, downtown Hershey sat barren. Now all of a sudden, it's important to get it done within the next 2 years. Think about it.
Very well. Hello, Gaylor, 80 Cambridge Drive, Hershey. Just a point of clarification, if you could help me out on the regarding the recreation center. Am I to understand that this schematic that was approved tonight simply applies to the complete rebuild or the $26 million? It does not include any of the other options that were originally presented?
It depends which way, I'll take a shot at that. It depends which way the schematic goes. So in other words, what you were reporting to us is that this design could go a couple different directions.
Yes.
Correct. So.
I understood that, but I understood it to mean that it's going, could go a couple different directions to the complete rebuild concept.
Right.
So are we beyond renovation or any of the other options?
I don't want to speak to the board, but I think based on the vote tonight, we are beyond the renovation.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Seeing no one, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Court, seconded by Mr. Moyer. We are adjourned. Have a good evening, folks.